Blog Talk Radio.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God. In the name of Jesus, I'm Elder David Ambrose Shaw of David and Diane Ministry and Friends, praise God. Will we come forth Monday through Friday to read the Word of God out of the King James Version, the New King James Version, of the Word of God, the translation. And we bring that word, and as we read it, we come forth with the spirit and the spiritual gift that God had given us and talent to bring forth the word theatrically and under the anointing with the Spirit of God leading us, where we do not add anything to the word and we do not take away anything to the word, but we pronounce the words and we say what it is that we say in the acknowledgments of what we read and everything and all the words that are brought forth on the page. We don't add anything and we don't take anything away, but we pronounce it the best way we can. And we thank you for your patience and your commitment to continue listening and supporting David and Diane Ministry and Friends. And oftentimes, you know, it's just preaching to the rocks. You know, where these dry bones live. But yet we continue to press on and move forward through the commitment that God has given to us into our heart. Because truly and honestly, I have to say that though I'm not all the way where I should be, and though you may not be all the way where you should be, you have to look back and play the tape. You're definitely not where you used to be. I'm definitely not where I used to be. And I thank God to be able to look back and see the truth of what God is. Staying in a commitment to listen to his word. Staying in a commitment to read his word. Staying in a commitment to doing what God has called for you to do. Like we know, the word acknowledges he prefers commitment rather than sacrifice. To be commitment, not sacrifice, not sacrificing what you used to do so often, but being committed to do what God has for us to do. Not only being committed to what it is that you do, but also what it is that God has for you to do, and you're actually doing it. It's a difference. But understand, we trust God and we love the Lord. We definitely thank each and every one of you for joining in and supporting us here at David and Diane Ministry and Friends. We stay committed to doing what God has called for us to do, and we thank God for that commitment rather than just not only the sacrifice but also that of the commitment. We thank God for those out there in Los Angeles, California, those out there in Compton, California. Should I say just California, period? We like to thank God for those that are out there in Atlanta and Georgia, you know. We thank God for those that are out there in North Carolina, South Carolina. We also see those that are out there in our European nations and Egypt and those out there in South Korea, Japan, and, you know, over there where they have Yugoslavia. We thank God for you. We thank God for all of what we have on today as we continue to pray for your families. Pray for your children in Jesus' name. Pray for the rebound in Jesus' name. And as we come together as a country and as a nation, we come as also baptized believers in Jesus' name. You know, we thank God. We do accordingly to how God leads us. And as we share now, we want to acknowledge that we have a phone call for the guests to come in at 516-387-1255. And on today, I want to open up the mics for prayer at the end of our reading because there's a lot going on in the world today. And we must come together and stand that no matter what, we have to continue to press on in the Word of God, knowing that the enemy is working, the enemy is loose, but yet, we can do all things through Christ, and we are protected by the hedge of protection of the Holy Spirit. The angels in heaven are protecting and guarding us because we belong to God. Trusting the Lord is my strength, and having that faith continues to lead us forward. I don't know and I don't see, but I can be assured in my heart of hearts that God is real and he is still on the throne. Let us pray. And then after we finish praying, we will go into a song. And when we come back, we will be reading out of 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I have to pause and stop just right now to say thank you. Looking back on before, I just see just how blessed and how real and how true you really are. We thank you, and we say joint and collectively on today that we thank you. Because, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing, but with you, by you, and for you, we can do all things through Christ, which gives us that strength. Lord, we thank you. We ask that, Lord, you continue to be with us. Let the anointing flow through the radio way. And as we read the word, let the truth be made manifested through the Spirit within our hearts and soul. Pray for those who are unable and less fortunate than ourselves. We pray for those that are sick and shut in. We pray for those that are incarcerated in our jails and in our prisons and in our boot camps. We even ask for a healing upon those that are suffering from some form of addiction. And even through the unborn babies that have yet to be born into a house or role of addiction. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray, Lord, for understanding. And we pray for your protection. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor, because you truly are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as always, we almost let go, but we remember just how wonderful you really are. We love you, Lord. But we did. We almost let go. But as always, but God.
God's mercy kept me.
Kept me.
So I wouldn't let go.
We'll be back.
Anybody here ever felt like giving up? Just throwing in the towel. Just giving up. I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
God bless me.
next to him. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
Thank you, Lord.
I almost let go.
And you wouldn't let go. Praise God. We're back. And I'm Elder David Ambrose Shaw. We're coming forth, praise God, out of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, out of the New King James Version. Praise God, of God's holy word. Let us read 2 Samuel, chapter 11. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her iniquity, impurity. And she returned to her house. and the woman conceived. And she went and told David and said, I am with child. Then David said to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And Uriah had come to him. David asked how Joab was doing, and how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to the house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, and David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to David, there are and Israel and Judah are dwelling in the tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink, and to lie with my wife as you live, and as your soul lives? I will not do this thing. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now, when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And that evening, he went out to lie in his bed with the servant of his lord. But he did not go down to his house. In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. So it was, while Joab besieged the city, that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab. And some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling the matters of the war to the king, if it happens that the king's wrath rises, he says to you, why did you approach so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Was it not a woman who cast a piece of a milestone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? And did you not go near the wall? Then you shall see. You see, then Jurah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out to us in the field. Then we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants were dead. And your servant, your Hittite, is dead also. Then David said to the messengers, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as the other. Strengthen your attack against the city and withdraw it. So encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, thou wert two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drunk from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And the traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one from the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this small shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the land because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your keeping, I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been so little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do the evil in his sight? You have killed the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up at the city against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with her, with your wives, in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the children also who is born to you shall surely die.
Then Nathan departed to his house,
and the Lord struck the children that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David, therefore, pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, he spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead?
And they said,
he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they sent food before him, and he ate.
that is it and said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for a child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate. But he said, whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Then David confronted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Now Joab fought against Reba of the people of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Reba, and I have taken the city. What a supply. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. So David gathered all the people together and went to Reba, fought against it, and took it. Then he took the king's crown from his head. Its weight is a talent of gold, with gracious, precious stone, and it was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it, and put them to work with saws and iron picks and iron axes, and made them cross over to the bookworks. So he did all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 13. After this, Saul, the son of David, had a lovely sitter whose name was Tamar, and Ammon, the son of David, loved her. Ammon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Ammon to be doing anything to her. But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me image said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come to give me food and prepare the food in my sight, and I may see it and eat it from her hand. Then Amon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amon said, have everyone go down out from me. And they all went out from him. Then Amon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come, lay with me, my sister. But she answered, no, my brother, do not thrust me, for no such a thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I? Where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools of Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not heed her advice. And being strong, then he forced her to lay with her. And Amon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. Amon said to her, arise, be gone. So she said to him, no matter, indeed. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant, who attended him, and said, here, put this woman out
away from me and bolt the door behind her. Now, she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wear such apparel. And his servants put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head, and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hide your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Nah, do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, "Neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. And he came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had Sheepshead and Baal-hazor, which is near Ephraim. So Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then Absalom came to the king and said, 'Kind and out, your servant has 6 years. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant.' But the king said to Absalom, 'No, my son, let us not all you go now, lest we be a burden to you.' Then he urged him, but he would not go, and he blessed him. Then Absalom said, 'If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us.' And the king said to him, 'Why should you go with you?' But Absalom urged him, 'Go.' So he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now, Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, 'Watch now.' When Amnon's heart is merry with wine, I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant.' So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were on the way, that news came to David, saying, 'Absalom was killed. All the king's sons, and not one of them is left
So the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the ground, and all his servants stood by with their clothes torn. Then Jehoshaphat, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for only Amon is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that forced his sister Tamar." Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for only Amon is dead. Then Absalom fled, and the young man who was keeping watch let his eyes and look, and that many people were coming from the road of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to the king, "Look, the king's sons are coming as your servants did." So it is. So it was. As soon as he had finished speaking, the king's sons indeed came, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Also, the king of all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amnahab, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. The king David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amon, because he was dead. 2 Samuel chapter 14. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was concerned about Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on a mourning apparel. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but act like a woman who has been mourning a long time for the dead. Go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, "Help, O king!" Then the king said to her, "What troubles you?" And she answered, "Indeed, I am a widow. My husband is dead. Now, your maid servants had two sons, and the two fought each other in the field, and there was no one to part them but the one struck the other and killed him. And now the whole family has risen up against your maidservant, and they said, deliver him who struck his brother, that we may execute him for the life of his brother who he killed. And he will destroy, we will destroy their heir also, their heir, so they would extinguish my ember that is left, and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the earth. Then the king said to the woman, go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you. And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, my lord, O king, let the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king in his throne be guiltless. So the king said, whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore. Then she said, please let the king remember the Lord your God, and do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy anymore, at least they destroy my son. And he said, as the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground. Therefore, the woman said, please let your maidservant speak another word to my lord the king, and said, say on. So the woman said, why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of God, while the kings speak these things as one who is guilty, and that the king does not bring his banished one home again, for he will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him. Now, therefore, I have come to speak of this thing to my lord the king, because our people have made me afraid. And your maidservant said, I will not speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his maidservant, for the king will hear and deliver his maidservants from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the inheritance of God. Your maidservant said, the words of my lord the king will now be comforted, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king
of discerning good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you. Then the king answered and said to the woman, please do not hide from me anything that I ask you. And the woman said, please let my lord the king speak. So the king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? And the woman answered and said, are you least, my lord the king? No one can turn to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. For your servant Joab commanded me, and he put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant to bring about this change of affairs. Your servant Joab has done this thing, but my lord is wise according to the wise of the angel, the wisdom angel of God, to know everything that is in the earth. And the king said to Joab, all right, I will grant this thing. Go, therefore, bring back the young man, Absalom. Then Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord. O king, in that the king has fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him return to his own house, but do not let him see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house, but did not see the king's face. Now, in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks, for the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. There was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head and the end of every ear, he put it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair and his head to 200 shekels according to the king's standard. To Absalom were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. And Absalom dwelt 2-4 years in Jerusalem, but did not see the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to sit him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. So he said to his servant, see, Joab, field is near mine, and he has buried that, so go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire.
drew up a ruse and came to Absalom's house and said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, said, "Look, I said to you, saying, 'Come here, so that I may send you to the king and to say, why have I come from Gesha? It would be better for me to be there still.' Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, but if there is iniquity in me, let him execute me." So Joab went to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. Then the king kissed Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 15. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone would who had a lawsuit come to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there's no duty, deputy of the king to hear you." Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in your land, and everyone who has any suit or causes would come to me, then I would give him justice." So it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, it came to pass, for after 40 years, that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Gesha in Syria, saying, 'If the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.'" And the king said to him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, 'Absalom reigns in Hebron.'"
And with Absalom, went 200 men invited from Jerusalem to, and they went along innocently and did not know anything that Absalom shoot to Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, from Goliath. Wow. He ordered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. Now, a messenger came to David, saying, "The heart of the man of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who are with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee. We shall not escape from Absalom. Least flee. And we shall not escape, for Absalom make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said to the king, "We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands." Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at outskirts, that all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. Then the king said, "Ittai, the Gittai, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander and down with us today? Since I go, I know not where. Return and take your brother back. Mercy and truth be with you." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, or as my lord the king lives, surely, in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." So David said to Ittai, "Go and cross over." The Ittai, the Gittite, and all his men, and all the little ones who were with him, crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron. And all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness.
That was Zadok. Also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in your eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back. He will bring me back. Show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you. Here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok, the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and went as he went up. And he had his head covered, and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn and counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now it happened, when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, there was a Hushai and Archite coming to meet him with his rod, to robe torn in dust on his hand. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant. O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will be now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Nahithophel for me, and do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by then they shall send me everything you hear. So
Yahushua, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Amen. That's going to conclude the reading of 2 Samuel chapter 11 to chapter 15. Amen. We thank God for the reading that's on today. We see what's going on as to the lineage and the kingship of how to continue to move up and be obedient to what God is calling for David to do. It's very profound as to the calling on his life and how he's gone through and he's accomplished the things in which he has. We know in the name of Jesus that David is a man after God's own heart. And we have to learn to trust him, have faith in him, believe in his word, and recognize today is a great day to be alive. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, again, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, mercy, and your love, knowing that if you had not called us or chosen us, we wouldn't even be here. But we thank you that you care for us, that you love us, and that you look past our faults to provide our every need. And just for the day, we give thank you and praise. Just for the day, we say glory to God and hallelujah. Just for the day, we say thank you and say thank you again. Once again, I'm Elder David Amber Shaw of David and Diane Ministry and Friends, and we thank you for joining us on this evening. God bless you. We'll be back on Monday. This is actually a wonderful day and a great day to be alive. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.
John was here. After going through, he looked back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising him. Well, help me out, y'all.
You know, we didn't have a lot of music. I'm gonna praise the Lord.